And thank you, Terry. We're in the book of Exodus. We're in chapter 20. Marshall, have you got a message you'd like to bring to us this morning?
No, I don't.
You don't? Okay. I heard Marshall preach us a sermon this morning before Sunday school. Probably more of a sermon than a lot of churches will hear in their worship hour. So whenever you get it ready, Marshall, and you want to get up here, you let me know. All right? All right. We're in the book of Exodus on Sunday mornings, and I've enjoyed my time here. I hope you have as well. We continue to see God's revelation of Himself as we journey through this glorious book. We've made our way to verse 15 in the book of Exodus. Four short words this morning. The book of Exodus chapter 20, the inspired word of God reads, "You shall not steal." Let's pray. Lord, the power that's in your word will only be made known to the hearts of your children if your spirit applies it. So, Holy Spirit, I'm asking for a miracle this morning to do what I can't do in my own strength. The task you've given me is overwhelming. I tremble holding your word. I tremble to stand before you, and I tremble to stand before your people with this message. This is your time to speak to us. And if that's to happen again, it'll be by the power of your gracious Spirit. I ask for that to happen now, that we hear from you. And as a result of hearing your word, we leave this place today changed, different than when we came in. As you make our sin known to us, grant us the faith to repent and believe and trust and receive the gracious forgiveness to your people that you desire us to receive. And again, we'll leave this place different than when we come in. All by your grace and all for your glory. For we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Four simple English words this morning. You shall not steal. How much plainer can God be? Don't take something that doesn't belong to you. When he tells his people, you shall not steal, notice he doesn't say what you shouldn't steal or when you shouldn't steal it or from whom you won't steal or why you won't steal it. And the reason he doesn't specify these things is because he intends this command to enforce this truth. You are not to steal anything from anyone at any time for any reason. Ready to go home? We could pray and dismiss. It's very plain and it's very simple to me what God intends and what God means with this commandment. But to be such a simple command, and to be such a command that's so easy for us to understand, it's certainly one of the most broken commands in all of God's law. Not just these 10, but in all of God's law. This command is broken daily throughout our nation. Here in America today, consider these statistics. And some of these are aged, so it may be more. But one statistic I read says that over $50 billion a year is stolen from employees by their employers. Employee theft. That's not even the shoplifting and stuff that goes on from the consumers or from the world or from others outside the company, so to speak, but $50 billion. Over $60 billion a year is lost due to shoplifting. According to some estimates, as much as one-third of a product's cost goes to cover the various forms of stealing that occur on its way to the marketplace. One-third. So consider an item you buy and say a third of that is on the price of what I'm paying to cover the cost of loss due to theft. One hotel reported in its first year of business it had to replace 38,000 spoons, 18,000 towels, 355 coffee pots, and 100 Bibles in the first year it was open for business. Brothers and sisters, we live in a land of thieves. We lived in a land of commandment number 8 breakers, if you will. The great reformer Martin Luther, who was never a loss for words, wrote this 500 plus years ago. He said, if we look at mankind in all its conditions, it is nothing but a vast, wide stable full of great thieves. If we were to hang them all, where shall we get rope enough? Brothers and sisters, the sad part of this commandment is it's not just the lost world around us that makes up these thieves. Christians, God's people, are some of the very ones making up these statistics, these shocking statistics that I've just read to you this morning. Let's remember this morning who is doing the commanding here and who he's declaring these things to. God says to us, to his people, to the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, in this context in which we read these things, it is the holy God, creator of all the universe, speaking to his people, and he says, you shall not steal. Let's see what this commandment consists of. First of all, let's see what it means. When God says you shall not steal, what does he mean? It's two words in the Hebrew, just like the no killing and the no murdering and the no adulterating, as we saw last week. This week, it's two simple Hebrew words, no stealing. What does he mean when he thunders from heaven? Remember, the Israelites are hearing the very voice of God when these Ten Commandments are given. And they're at the foot of the mountain, and they're hearing the voice of God, Lo Ganoth! And they're trembling at the foot of the mountain. No stealing. What does he mean? Well, we all know what that means. I'm not belittling anyone by asking that question. We know what it means when we say, do not steal. It means don't take something that doesn't belong to you. The Hebrew word literally means to carry something away as if by stealth. In other words, in a secretive way, intending to avoid detection. A very technical definition for us today of stealing would be to appropriate someone else's property unlawfully. Now, that's pretty plain to me. Again, we all seem to know what it means, but it also encompasses many things that perhaps we don't normally think of when we think of stealing. We think of shoplifting. We think of larceny. We think of robbery. There's hijacking. There's pickpocketing. There's embezzlement. There's extortion. There's racketeering. All those things are stealing, obtaining something that's not yours for your purpose of gain at the cost or expense of someone else. The Bible specifically mentions kidnapping as stealing. In fact, in the Old Testament law, kidnapping was punishable by death. So you can't not only steal possessions, but you can't steal people. Taking of animals, which would be a means of livelihood for people. The Bible speaks very strongly against the stealing of animals and the cost of reimbursing those who have been stolen from. Or the mistreatment or withholding of wages from hired help, the Bible says, that's stealing. You're stealing from that person that you're employing, that you promised to pay. The Bible says, don't do that. We all know what it means when he says, you shall not steal. The Heidelberg Catechism, one of the earliest Protestant confessional documents, answers question number 110 this way. The question is, what does commandment number 8 forbid? The answer to the catechism question? God forbids not only outright theft and robbery, but also wicked schemes and devices such as false weights and measures, deceptive merchandising, counterfeit money, and usury. It goes on and says, we must not defraud our neighbor in any way, whether by force or by show of right. In addition, God forbids all greed and all abuse or squandering of his gifts. So we know what this means, don't we? We've spelled it out. We've identified it. We've recognized what it means when God says, you shall not steal. But yet we see all of these things. The schemes and devices and false weights and measures, the taking of animals, the kidnapping, the robbery, the embezzlement, the extortion, the racketeering, all these things. We see these things taking place all around us every single day. But we know that it's wrong because we know what it means when God says, you shall not Still, my question is this. If it's such a simple command, we know what it means. We know that God gave this. This is God speaking His words to His people. If we know that is true and that is God's command and that is what it means, then why in the wide world of sports is it so commonly broken and so widespread in the world today? There's no gray areas here. There's no misunderstanding what God meant. If you take something that's not yours, that belongs to someone else, you're stealing. If it's wrong and it's against God's law, brothers and sisters, why do we keep breaking this simple command? You say, "Preacher, I don't break this command. I'm not a thief. How dare you to even imply that I would take something from someone that does not belong to me? I'm honest and I'm upright." Let's move on. See what else we can consider in this text, in this verse, in this command. That's what it means. There's nothing else I can say. I've exhausted what it means. As plain and simple as I can for a 30-minute sermon. Don't take something that doesn't belong to you. It's wrong. It's stealing. It's forbidden. That's what it means. Secondly, let's see why it's wrong. Why is it wrong? You shall not steal. Why is it wrong to take something that belongs to someone else? First of all, as a side note, let me just say this. This commandment in the teachings of the Scripture assumes the right to ownership. You need to know that. And there's much been written about this. So when we get into this socialism, communism type of debate, you need to understand that God is assuming the right to property, private possession. Sounds like I'm getting political. But I'm telling you, that's what the Bible teaches. And God makes the assumption that there will be private property, not for your own possession, but ultimately for the use of His kingdom and His glory and His good. But it's held by individuals, not by governments, distributed as they see fit. It's personal possession. There's much been written about this. Charles Hodge wrote much about this. John Gerstner has a great lecture I could refer you to listen to this. And many, many others about this very thing. So the Bible assumes the right to private ownership by making this command, "You shall not steal." It's implying that somebody owns this, you're not to take it. They have a right to it. It's given them by God. Anyway, that's a side note. Why is it wrong? Why is it wrong? You shall not steal. Why is it wrong? Let me give you two reasons why stealing is wrong. In addition to the fact that you could just say, as a good parent, "Because I said so," right? So we could just say, "Because God said so," that's why it's wrong. But let's look very practically and very biblically at why it is wrong. Why God gives this command for His people not to steal. Number one, when you steal, you're not trusting in God's providence to provide for you. By stealing something that belongs to someone else, you're not trusting that God will take care of you. You're not exercising faith that God will meet your needs. It's just that simple. You're taking something that you don't have, that someone else has, because you think God's not going to provide and meet the needs of those things that will provide for you. You're basically saying, "God, I don't believe you're going to supply my needs, so I'm going to take it for myself. Because I don't think you're going to provide enough for me to eat, so I'm going to go steal some food, or I'm going to steal a possession that someone else has, and then I'll have enough money, and then I'll have enough of food or whatever it is that I need or won't. I don't think you're going to do it, so I'm going to steal it and get it for myself. I'm not trusting in God's providence." Secondly, not only are you not trusting in God's providence when you steal, you're violating God's providence for someone else. Now think about that for a moment. You're violating what God has provided for another person who was created in His image. It's God who provides for all of His creation. Even lost people have their possessions by the generous provision of God's grace. You say, "That's not fair. They have more than I do." I'll let you take that up with God. The point being, even the wicked have possessions by God's grace. It's not for you to go take it. It's not for you to determine what you want from someone and take it for yourself. You're violating the provision that God has made for someone else. So according to God's law, stealing is a sin against His providence. It's a sign you don't trust God. And it's also a sin against the image of God, because it does harm to the victim. It does harm to the person from whom you've stolen. And remember, they too were created in the image of God, just like you were. So basically, stealing is a sin against God's character. It's against God's integrity. Now, we don't want to see it that way or admit it that way, but that's what stealing is. Whether you steal because of greed or selfish desires or coveting, which we'll see in just a couple of weeks, or for whatever other reason, when you steal, you're stealing not only from your fellow man, but you're stealing from God. You're not only harming and sinning against your fellow man, but you're sinning against God Himself. That's why the Bible so often forbids the taking of someone else's property. And this isn't just an Old Testament concept. The law is given here in the Old Testament, but it's confirmed and reiterated everywhere in the New Testament as well. So you can't just say, well, this is Old Testament law, which a lot of people say, and we don't apply to us anymore. Yes, it does. And even if it wasn't confirmed in the New Testament, it's still based on God's moral character and God's moral law and His moral standards. So it is applicable to us today. But Romans 13, 1 Corinthians 6, there's many other places, but the most clearly stated one in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 4, Paul writes to the church in Ephesus under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit who spoke this word in the book of Exodus, spoke this word in the book of Ephesians, let him who stole steal no longer. Can I paraphrase that for you? You shall not steal. Stealing is wrong. It's a sin against God as well as a sin against your fellow man. That's what it means. That's why it's wrong. Now, number three, let's see how it's broken. Let's see how this command is broken. Again, I've alluded to petty theft and shoplifting, burglary. Most Christians are being honest when they say, I don't do that. I would trust that every person in this room doesn't go to Walmart and take what they want. I would trust that every person in this room is being honest when they say, but I'm not a thief. I don't steal in those ways. How about cheating? You're in school, you're cheating on tests. Plagiarism. You're stealing. How about cheating on your income taxes? You don't file all the forms, or you don't claim all the income that you're supposed to claim. You're cheating, you're stealing, you're defrauding. Not paying your bills that you're committed or responsible for paying. The light company says, I will give you this service if you pay me every month, and you don't pay your bills. You're stealing from that company. Unethical business practices. Dealing wrongly with employees. If you own a business and you're not paying fair wages, or you're withholding a worker's or employee's wages. The Bible says don't do that. It's over in the book of Leviticus. You don't hold the wages of a person who has worked for you. It could very well be they live from day to day, from paycheck to paycheck, so to speak, and they need money daily in that culture, or maybe in our culture. They daily need what you promised to pay them. If you withhold their wages, you're stealing from them. And the Bible says, don't do that. Unethical business practices, not giving an honest day's work to your employer. We call it milking the clock this day. I think the average statistic says that out of an 8-hour work day, the average person works maybe 5.5. The other time it's been around the water cooler or doing who knows what. Not providing the services that you promised to provide. It's stealing, it's wrong. That's one of many ways that it's broken. And again, we all tend to know what this means. To take advantage of someone or not do what we've promised to do in a way that's going to cost someone their possessions, their money, their livelihood. It's cheating, it's stealing, it's wrong. And there's many other ways, and I could give example after example, and we could all come up with ideas or thoughts of what we consider stealing. I'll let the Holy Spirit deal with each of you in your hearts of how that's possibly done in your own lives. But I want to point out in this point of how it's broken, the worst way that we could ever break this commandment. The worst thing you could ever do in breaking this commandment is not going to Walmart and grabbing you a 65-inch television, running out the door with it, or going to the bank and grabbing you pockets full of money and running out with that. That's bad enough. Don't get me wrong. I'm not making light of that. But the worst possible way that anyone could ever break this commandment is by robbing God. Stealing from God. And everyone says, I wouldn't do that. You may not come down to this offering plate and take your pick with it and take whatever you want out of it. But consider this, when you don't give God what is rightfully His, you're robbing Him. You're stealing from the very one who tells us, you shall not steal. When you don't give God what is rightfully His. Many years ago, I preached to you here through the book of Malachi. And I pointed out that very thing to you. Malachi chapter 3, God poses the rhetorical question, will a man rob God? But you have robbed me. And then the people in response to God would say, but you say, God says to them, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? So God tells the people, you've robbed me. And the people say, how have we robbed you? And God says, in tithes and offerings. You've not given me what's rightfully mine. So you rob or you steal from God by, number one, not tithing. Now, tithing is not just an Old Testament ideal. I admit it's not clearly reiterated in the New Testament that we must give a tithe. I believe it's a matter of Christian conscience. But let me say this. I think it's a good place to start. And it could very well be that God has blessed you so tremendously in this life that you would give more than a tithe. So don't stop there. I'll admit the New Testament doesn't say you shall tithe. You shall give a tithe to the Lord. But we have the Old Testament principle of the tithe. And again, if you're that blessed, maybe God has given you so much that He wants you to give maybe 20% instead of 10%. I'll just throw that out there. You know I don't talk about money, and I'm not trying to pad the offering plate or anything of the sort. I'm telling you to not give God what is rightfully His. Is stealing. I'll tell you another way you steal from God, and I pointed this out in the Malachi sermon many years ago. It's not just by not tithing, but it's by giving God your leftovers. I can never get this out of my mind because it's so, so true. I say that because giving God your leftovers, just what you don't want, is not giving Him what's rightfully His. So what is that? It's stealing. You're not giving God what's rightfully His. God deserves the first and the best of all that we have, not the leftovers of what we don't want. But yet that's done so predominantly among Christians. That's why you go to most churches, and we can go to probably any of our sister churches in the county, go through their storage rooms, and you'll find three-legged ping pong tables, wheelchairs with one wheel, broken crutches with duct tape, anything from home that you don't want. I read this illustration, supposedly, it's actually a Paul Harvey story. Paul Harvey told it for truth. If it's truth, so be it. If not, but a lady found a butterball turkey in the bottom of her freezer. Been covered up for years. She checked the date on it. It was 23 years old. Been in the bottom of her freezer. So she called the Butterball Turkey Company, and she said, I've got this turkey that's 23 years old. I'm wondering if it's safe to eat. So the person at the Butterball Turkey hotline called or answered and said, as long as it's been under temperatures of 0 degrees or below, it's safe to eat, but it's probably going to taste like cardboard. Throw it away. And the lady said, I can't throw it away. As long as it's safe to eat, I'll donate it to the church. That's the mindset of a lot of people. Stealing from God what is rightfully His. Giving God our leftover time, our leftover money, our leftover gifts, our leftover energy. We're robbing God and we're guilty of breaking the eighth commandment. You shall not steal. You go back and read the book of Joshua in chapter 6 and chapter 7. A man by the name of Achan violated this very covenant. They defeated Jericho hands down under the leadership of God, the nation of Israel did. And God commanded them, when you destroy the city, you destroy it all. You take the metal goods, that is the gold and the silver, and put it into the tabernacle treasury. Everything else is to be utterly destroyed, dedicated to God. The only thing you don't destroy in Jericho is Rahab and her family because of the promise that they made to her. So she lived, everything else is to be destroyed. Achan took silver, Achan took gold, he took a fancy garment, a robe, and he buried them in the earth underneath his tent, the Bible says. They've just come off a great victory. They go to the next nation that they believe God is leading them to conquer, a little nation, different ways of pronounce it. I pronounce it Ai. It's spelled literally Ai. They send spies in. They say it's a small land. You don't have to send. Just send a couple thousand people in there. We'll defeat them hands down. After what we just did to Jericho, God will lead us in here. We'll wipe them out like grasshoppers. They didn't even get started in the battle till 36 Israelites were killed, and they turned tail and ran. And Joshua falls on his face before God and says, God, what happened? We just defeated Jericho under your leadership, and now we go to this little small nation that should have been just a minor skirmish, a light battle. And God says, get up off your face. There's sin in the camp. You've rejected my word. You've rebelled against me. Get up, and we're going to expose the perpetrator. And through the process of casting lots, they find out Achan is the violator. And God said, put him to death. Because he stole what was rightfully God's. He took the possessions from Jericho that he was not supposed to take, the gold and the silver that was supposed to go to the tabernacle treasury, the garment that he was supposed to utterly burn and get rid of and destroy. He stole from God, and it cost him his life. It cost his family their lives because he broke this commandment. That's how serious this command is. Achan thought, nobody will know. I'll hide this under my tent. He coveted what he saw, and he stole it. He didn't just steal it from the people in Jericho. He stole it from God. Because again, everything that they had there that was destroyed, the gold and silver that was to be put into the tabernacle, belonged to God. It was devoted to God, the Bible says. Supposed to be. But Achan stole it from God. What a horrible way to break this commandment. You see how serious God takes this? You shall not steal. And I say to you as your pastor, listen, it's bad enough if you go to Walmart and I have to start a jail ministry to come see you. That's bad enough. But don't steal from God. Don't steal from God. Let's close this way. Stealing is wrong, whatever form it is. It's not a problem of your hands. It's not a problem that's caused by society. And even as light as our judicial system has become, where they're turning thieves and robbers out left and right, that's not why stealing is so predominant. It's not a problem of the hands. It's not a problem caused by society. Stealing is a problem of the heart. If you're stealing from man, if you're stealing from God, your heart's not right. There's a heart problem. There's something inwardly wrong. If you're stealing, if you're being dishonest in business practice, if you're taking advantage of others so you can dishonestly gain something for yourself, you're sinning against God. You're not trusting God. You're not trusting His providence. And the best thing I could tell you as your pastor is the same thing I would tell you if you broke commandment number 7 that we saw last week. Stop. Stop it. Stop stealing. Stop deceiving. Stop taking what's not yours. Stop being dishonest in your practices. Stop stealing from man. Stop stealing from God. The Bible says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Listen to where the Bible puts the act of stealing or the thief. Listen to the category of these sins that it puts this with. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. You're a thief. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. You're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. That's what the Bible says. And you sit this morning and you think, well, I think I've blown it, preacher. I think I've maybe done a couple of those things you talked about. Maybe some other things that I haven't talked about that's popped up in your mind through God's leadership. Maybe some dishonesty, dishonest business practices, some cheating on this or cheating on that. Maybe taking a little something that you didn't think anyone would miss or you didn't think it was such a big deal. Well, as with all these commandments, if you think that you've blown it, I hope that this emphasizes to you your desperate need of grace. And if you're guilty of breaking the commandment, I want you to know that there's grace and forgiveness in Christ. So you may have blown it, but your life's not over, just like the adulterer. You may have blown it, but don't just throw in the towel and say, I'm doomed, condemned to hell. I'll go sin some more. No. God makes your sin known to you, and through the power of His Spirit grants you the faith to repent and to believe that He will cleanse you of all your unrighteousness. So I say to you, if I say you shall not steal, which is what God's Word says to you, and you find yourself guilty of this or any other command, I urge you to flee to the cross of Jesus Christ. Confess those sins, repent of those sins, turn to Him, and by faith trust the free grace that He gives. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That's the good news of this command that tells us you shall not steal. God is forgiving. Turn to Him by faith today. Will you pray with me? Lord.